Good afternoon, Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. Showers and thunderstorms are in the forecast for much of the northern plains this week, but the moisture isn't expected to delay planting much. Weather Incorporated Wednesday will be the driest day of the week. Total moisture in the next 7 days will range from a quarter of an inch to three quarters of an inch in the eastern part of the region and less than half an inch in the western part of the northern plains. High temperatures are in the 60s and 70s today through the end of the week.
Nutrien Ag Solutions principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass says we should continue to see windows for increased planting opportunities across the northern plains.
So the good news is that we're building a pretty sizable ridge to the western part of the United States, and usually when the flow comes down from the northwest this time of year, we tend to see less of these big low pressure systems, and that just tends to mean that wider planting windows open up, those 3 to 4 day stretches where if it does rain, it's relatively light and it's not something that completely shuts us out. So things are looking good for the Dakotas, the western Corn Belt, as we move forward.
Overnight temperatures expected to remain seasonal, which is in the 30s short term, but Snodgrass doesn't expect any major frost or widespread freezes through mid-May.
At this point, I don't. Nothing in the tropics is telling me that that could happen. Nothing in the flow of the jet stream that's coming through the North Pacific is really signaling that at this point. So when we look out that far, we just don't see anything just yet. But as you know, those kind of events can sometimes be really sneaky. One of those nice, clear nights where the winds calm down and the jet stream's in the right configuration, and we do get a late frost. But at this point, the good news is nothing right now is glaring at me to tell you that I'm worried about it.
The tractor tires are rolling across parts of the region. Andover, South Dakota farmer John Horder is seeding oats today.
We started about a week ago today doing a little field work and started planting last Wednesday doing some oats and kind of picking the fields that drain the best for us so we can get the oats in, I guess, and kind of taking it day by day.
Horder will get the oats seeded today. Corn will be planted next.
Depends on the weather. I guess we've decided we're not going to push as hard as we did last year and fight the conditions. So we're going forward with our initial intentions, and we'll kind of just have to see what the weather deals with us here the next 2 to 3 weeks.
New Salem, North Dakota farmer Jim Baum is planting spring wheat. Fields are still muddy in areas.
We're picking our fields here and there. Some of it's flax stubble, some of it's sunflower ground that we vertical tilled. So it's dried out a little bit. But we're picking, right now I'm on a wheat stubble field, actually going back to wheat that I normally don't do. But and that one's a little bit on a little more heavy residue. So it's seeding good.
Bam says there's at least 10 more days of spring wheat seeding to go. As he plants, Bam says there are some neighbors harvesting the 2019 crop.
There's still some corn standing out, even in our area, that hasn't been harvested yet. I got one neighbor that's combining sunflowers right now yet, and most everybody out here has cattle, so some of them are raking their corn fields right now and baling up the corn stover and trying to get those bales off before they seed them.
As the planting season begins, farmers are working on addressing some of the issues faced from last year. Here's NDSU Extension Soil Health Specialist Abby Wick.
It's been great because even though NDSU is working remotely, a lot of farmers are still calling, and that's really awesome to hear their thoughts and to kind of hear their excitement for getting back in the field. Some of the things that they're mentioning are some of the saline areas that with the soils kind of drying out and the wind blowing, that they're starting to see some more salinity come up. And so, some questions on that or just some thoughts on that and what they're gonna try, whether it's dividing the field and putting more tolerant small grains in those areas or going for a full season cover crop on some of the salt affected areas. Gotten a few things on like cereal rye termination.
NDSU Extension will be hosting a webinar series on soil health, which begins tomorrow and continues through mid-May. Wick says the topics addressed range from planting cover crops to addressing soil issues like salinity.
So all the presentations are pre-recorded, so they're going to be available on the Soil Health webpage for whenever anybody wants to listen to them. But we also thought we'd offer them during a Zoom call so people can log on to Zoom. And then Naeem and I will be there to answer questions. And if the person who did the presentation is available, they'll hop on Zoom and they can answer questions. And so it'll be a really great way to talk about, challenges with ruts that from last year's harvest. And then I talk about using cover crops for wet field conditions and Dave Franzen's presentation on phosphorus export and erosion.
This afternoon, USDA will release the weekly crop progress report. The trade expecting U.S. corn planting at 20-25% complete. Soybean planting is forecast at 5-7% complete. Hard red spring wheat planting is forecast at 16-18% complete. The report comes out at 3 p.m. Central Time.
North Star Commodity Chief Analyst Mark Schultz says lower demand and good crop weather are keeping the pressure on the corn and soybean markets.
We've talked to people in Nebraska who believe that as a state they might be closer to 40-50% of the corn already in the ground. And I wouldn't be surprised nationally if we're seeing somewhere around that 20-25%, even if it doesn't show that. This afternoon, I believe we'll probably be there. Forecast still looks to be kind of hit and miss showers this week, but then a warmer, drier trend after that. So good progress being made, and that's keeping the pressure on the market for the time being.
Scholl says good growing conditions are keeping pressure on the markets as well.
We're going to see temperatures warm up too. I think I've even seen some upper 80s and low 90s, even up as far north as Nebraska coming up here later this week. So certainly getting warmed up, and I've already talked to some people who have already told me it's a half inch to three quarter of an inch sprout already on corn that they put in the ground in Minnesota. I think you'll see corn up out of the ground by this weekend and probably early part of next week for sure.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Small Business Administration will start accepting loan applications for the Paycheck Protection Program again today. Farmers are eligible to apply for the PPP loans as well as the Economic Injury Disaster loans. The loans are distributed on a first-come, first-served basis for those who qualify.
A number of meat processing plants have slowed down production or closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. That is being reflected in the latest slaughter numbers from USDA. Cattle harvest last week was down 27% from 1 year ago. Hog slaughter down 15% from a year ago, but down 30% from just 4 weeks ago. Broiler chicken slaughter is estimated to be down 5% from this time 1 year ago.
With the big drop in production, retail prices for certain meat cuts have spiked. The choice beef cutout closed Friday at $293.37 per hundredweight. That's 23% higher than 1 year ago and an all-time record high. Rounds, chucks, and ground beef have seen the biggest price bump. Retail pork prices are also moving higher, especially for pork loins. Pork belly prices were trading in the low 30s 2 weeks ago and closed Friday at $94.
Hogs are being euthanized due to plant closures and slowdowns. National Pork Board President David Newman says very difficult decisions are being made at the farm.
This isn't just an economic crisis. This is an emotional crisis for our producers as well. And when these things come at hand, they're not taken lightly. And we want to make sure that we have resources there, not just for our animals, but for our producers as well.
Newman previously worked as the swine specialist with NDSU Extension. He says producers should work with local, state, and federal officials and their veterinarian as they make decisions about depopulation and disposal. The Pork Checkoff has resources available at pork.org.
Yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control and the Occupational Safety and Health Organization issued interim guidance for meat and poultry processing facilities. The guidance outlines the importance of an assessment and control plan. Employees should be 6 feet apart in all directions if possible. The guidance suggests employers should also stagger breaks. encourage single file movement, and designate workers to monitor distancing on processing floor lines. Cloth face coverings are also encouraged, and this guidance from the CDC is optional.
Pro Farmer Washington, D.C. analyst Jim Wiesmeyer says there are already discussions happening for the next coronavirus act. The bill will likely include more relief for agriculture, but it could be a challenge to pass.
The longer you go, you get on various political party initiatives, both Republicans and Democrats. The big debate this coming round, I think, will be twofold. Whether and how much to provide to at the state level, because there are a number of Republicans who say while additional funding should go to the states for health care purposes, hospitals, et cetera, they're really calling into question whether or not taxpayers should fund not smart decisions at the state level rather relative to how they spent money in the past.
The U.S. ethanol industry is seeking to get through the coronavirus pandemic. American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings wrote a letter to President Trump asking him to provide much-needed boost to ethanol producers. Last week, President Trump directed the Secretaries of Treasury and Energy to create a plan to provide funds for the oil and gas industry. Jennings would like President Trump to do something similar for ethanol. Jennings also says the EPA hasn't responded to requests to ensure the renewable fuel standard will be upheld.
Total Chinese soybean imports were down 13% from 1 year ago. Imports from Brazil fell 25%, while shipments from the U.S. grew from 1.5 million tons to 1.7 million. China is expected to see more beans this month as it builds its state reserves. Phase one of the U.S.-China trade deal should also support business between the two countries. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. While the weather may be warmer outside, soil temperatures are still cool, rather on the cool side in places. That's why seed treatments are important when planting rolls around for farmers in the northern plains. DeKalb AgriGrow technical agronomist Evan Tweet says seed treatments can help minimize the effects of unfavorable early season planting conditions.
That seed is going to take longer to germinate and emerge when we're putting it into colder soils. And as we have that seed in those cold soils, the longer it sits there, the higher risk it has to be affected by either seedling diseases or pests that are in the ground there. So putting those soil seed treatments or those seed treatments on is going to be very helpful to make sure that we can protect those seeds early in the season and get those plants out of the ground so that we are keeping the same population.
Weekly export inspections from USDA for the week ending April 23rd shows corn exports of just under 1.1 million metric tons, 54% above the previous week, but it is 21% below the same week last year. Soybean inspections of 556,000 tons, just slightly higher than the previous week, 9.5% more than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections of 501,000 tons are 1% less than the previous week and 22% below the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are down 35% from a year ago. Soybean inspections are running 6% ahead of last year's pace. Wheat inspections are 5% ahead of last year.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down 3.5 at 5.09¾. July Chicago wheat down 5.5 at 5.25. July Kansas City wheat down 4.5 at 4.78¾. July corn down 9.25 at 3.13¾. December corn down 7.25 at 3.29½. July beans down 3.25 at 8.36¼. November beans down 2 at 8.39½. June live cattle up $1.50 at 84.17. May feeder cattle up 65 cents at 118.10. August up 92 cents. May lean hogs up $3.75 at 56.27. Taking a look at the farm calendar tomorrow, as mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, NDSU will be hosting a Soil Health Series online webinar. And also tomorrow, the South Dakota Department of Agriculture will have an informational meeting that is also a webinar. Find more details at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.